Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In my sermons this month on the letter of James, I've been talking about how a Christian life involves developing habits that lead to a distinct character, a character that praises and reflects the life of our Savior. So in this letter, James is very practical. I don't know if you've noticed, but there aren't any stories in James. There aren't any parables. There's just some straightforward moral teaching. So James tells us that the Christian life means acting out our faith, not just thinking our faith. And the famous phrase that we heard last week was, "Faith without works is dead." Works do not buy us salvation, but they are a response to God's saving action for us. God starts the process and we respond. And faith that doesn't show up in our actions hasn't fully sunk in. So faith is expressed through our love of neighbors, whether rich or poor. And that's one way that our works and our deeds should reflect our faith. And this week, we are invited to look at how faith and works relate to our speech, the words that we say. Well, why is that? Why should we care about what we say? Why is that really as important as what we do? I'm sure that you have all heard the saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." Well, you know, at some level, that's true. When a child complains, "Mommy, she's calling me names," that doesn't get quite the same reaction from the mother as when the child yells, "Mommy, she's hitting me with a stick." Sticks and stones can certainly cause immediate harm. And yet, it can almost be easier to forget those physical injuries, perhaps a push on the playground that makes you fall down. It's easier sometimes to forget things like that than to forget the taunts that we receive as children. Taunts like, "You stink, you're fat, you're stupid, no one wants to play with you." Words like that have the power to hurt very, very deeply. And insults like that not only hurt in the moment, but they may shape a person's life. A person may become convinced that they're not as good as others. They may believe that they are not worthy of love or friendship. They may believe that they're not worthy of meaningful work or happiness of any kind. Cruel words, especially when repeated over and over again, are among the most damaging kind of abuse. Now, the Bible proclaims the power of words, and you remember in Genesis, what God does? God speaks the creation into being. We hear, "God said, let there be light," and there was light. We hear God called the light day and the darkness night. These words are the means of creation. That's how it happens. God doesn't just say it and do it in a different way. It's the speaking that brings creation into being. And we hear this echoed in John 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through the Word." And the Word here refers to Jesus. Now, we also call the Bible the Word of God. So God's words, the Bible, God's Son, have the power to create and to save. And so when in this letter of James, the author warns us about the power of words, we've got this context of how important, how precious words are in the Bible. Words are not light, they're not unimportant things, and when we speak, we have the opportunity to echo God's creative action. Our words can ignite a forest fire, or they can guide a ship. Our speech can rouse a nation to action. Some of you may remember, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. A rousing speech. Or our speech can arouse hatred, such as when we use racial epithets, or when we dismiss someone's sexual identity or gender, when we put down Catholics or Southern Baptists, or liberals or conservatives. When we use negative words about others, we may fan into flames a vicious hatred of them. Recently, you may have heard in the news a story about an actor who was out of work, and he was currently working at Trader Joe's. And someone spotted him at the cash register and recognized him, and they called him out. They critiqued him and put him down for no longer being a successful actor, for taking a part-time job to cover the bills. And in a recent interview that happened since then, he said, "It really hurt. The words they used to describe me were so demeaning." But many other actors used their words, their speech, they used social media to leap to his defense. They condemned what they saw as job shaming, shaming him because he held a job as a cashier instead of something more prestigious as an actor. And these other actors shared how they too had worked as waiters, as baggers at grocery stores to finance their careers. Sometimes negative talk about other people just seems to happen unintentionally. And most of us have said something that we wished we could take back because it got misinterpreted or somebody got hurt. And we didn't intend that. But we've all found with words that you cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube. And politicians and public figures aren't the only ones to put their foot in their mouth sometimes. Sometimes negative talk about others seems to happen on purpose. And the person speaking sometimes seems to have pleasure in being mean to others through their words. We may use words deliberately to hurt others. We may tell untruths about them, or we may pass along damaging gossip about them. And by the way, I think that there is a fine line between sharing information about others out of caring and sharing information about others out of a delight at having information to share. So be careful what you pass along about others. However, words do have the power to do good. Words can make a difference when we stand up for somebody who's being bullied, when we use our words to work for God's justice instead of keeping silence out of fear. Words have power for good when we praise God and tell of all that God has done in our lives. Words, whether spoken carelessly or intentionally, have power. I don't think you need the Bible to tell you that. The question is, what will we do about it? Do we want to use our words for creation, to bring about good in the world? Do we want to use our words for destruction, to bring someone down? Will our mouths and our lives praise God, or will they shame and cut down others? Whose side are we on? This is the question of Christian character. And so, as we learn to grow and mature and become complete in our faith, we learn to use all our words and our deeds to proclaim the goodness of God. And our Christian identity becomes one of love and support for others. Church, Only you can prevent a forest fire. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.